This morning, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to begin in the very first verse. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye will find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now, today is Palm Sunday. We remember Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands of people lined the road that day. The Passover holiday was near, and there was excitement in the air, and Jesus intentionally chose to join the festival parade in the way that he did. He's the one that everybody's been talking about. He's the one that everybody is waiting for. He's the one that everybody is looking to see. He is the rightful ruler of God's people, not Caesar. And so he comes to redeem his people from the oppression that they have suffered under Roman rule. And they sing and they shout, Hosanna, blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. They throw palm branches in his way as he comes in. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Wouldn't you love to have seen people of that magnitude praising the Lord just for being there? Seems like on that particular Palm Sunday, Jesus was accepted in that moment more than he was in all of the other Gospels. It was a great thing to see, and we know just how quickly it changed over the next week. This day that we celebrate has a variety of sermons that can be brought from it. But I want to focus on something a little different today because I find it interesting on how Jesus arrived in Jerusalem that day. He comes into the city riding on a donkey. And specifically, a donkey that wasn't his, that was borrowed specifically for this purpose. Now, he didn't come riding in on a stallion, a white horse, a black horse. That would have been a sign of war. He comes in riding on a donkey, a sign of peace, sign of humility. Our scripture for today kind of gives us some insight on how all of this came to be. As they get close to Jerusalem, Jesus taps two of his disciples with a task. He said, I want you to go over into the city next door, and you're going to find a donkey and her colt, and they're both going to be tied, and I want you to untie them and bring them to me. He says, and if anybody says, why are you doing this? Why are you untying those donkeys? They're not yours. He said, you tell them the Lord hath need of them, and they'll let you go. So they go. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. They find just as Jesus had told them they would find. They find this donkey, they find her colt tied up together, and they loose them and they bring them to Jesus. As a matter of fact, in Luke's account of this very incident, somebody does come out and say, "Why are you doing this?" And they give them the words that Jesus had already told them to say, and they let them go, and they let them bring these animals back to Jesus. There's so many areas we can focus on this morning if we chose to. We can focus on the cries of the crowd turning from Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We can focus on that to their cries turning to crucify him. This account is fertile grounds for sermons we all need to hear. But today, I want to focus on the words of Jesus, "The Lord hath need of them." Do you feel like a donkey this morning? I mean, whether we admit it or not, there's some similarities. I think donkeys are cute. That first picture with them with the mouth sideways, I think that's just cute. I love how they look. And I don't care what anyone else thinks about us, because I am sure that when God looks at every one of us, we are absolutely beautiful to him. We're his creation. I know I don't look like a whole lot, but you know what? I am something special in the eyes of God. I'm really something special, and you are too. I think he looks at us like we look at our children and our grandchildren. I will admit, I know I'm biased, but I tell Ginger, Maverick, our youngest grandchild, I said, he's one of the prettiest babies I've ever seen. Ginger said, "You're biased." I said, "No, I'm not, but I know I am, because he's part of me. He's part of me." Then I look at Layton and he's beautiful, you know, and I look at other ones and they're beautiful. But God looks at us and he thinks we're beautiful. He thinks we're pretty. He thinks we're handsome. He thinks we are something else, because we're his creation. But you know what? Donkeys can also be stubborn. They don't like to be forced into anything. They show that stubbornness by refusing direction, sitting down or laying down or even kicking somebody that comes near to them and tries to make them do something that they don't want to do. In a sense, we're like that too. We have that independent streak, and we get stubborn when we're being led to do something that we don't want to do. We refuse direction. Sometimes we just lie down and refuse to do anything, or we either kick and scream until we're finally left alone. But donkeys can be very, very useful. They can work hard for a day and not even get very tired. They're stronger than they look, and they can carry heavy loads very easily. They're still used for that purpose in many parts of the world. We too are stronger than we realized. Do you realize that today, as you're sitting here or you're listening in, you have faced the toughest day you have ever had to face, and you're here. You're here. We're stronger than we think, but not in our own strength, but when we have the strength of Christ backing us. I bet some of y'all here and some of you tuning in, you're like me. How many times have you rested on Philippians 4:13? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." had to remind myself of that a few times, Miss Helen. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, we are certainly not donkeys. But I'd submit that our relationship to this story may be this. Many of us today that are here, that are listening in, we are tied up. We are tied up. And when we are tied up, we cannot be useful to God. Jesus said, I need that donkey. You're going to find him, and he's going to be tied. Jesus didn't just say, go get him and bring him. Jesus said, untie him. Because unless he's untied, I can't use him. I can't use him. Today I want to do a couple things. Let's look at a few things this morning that keep us tied and away from being as useful as we should be. One thing that ties us up is pride. And I'm guilty. I'll admit that. Sometimes our pride ties us up and prevents us from being useful to Christ. We're like a stubborn donkey and we refuse to admit that to ourselves that we really need Christ in our lives. Our independence takes over and we have a trouble admitting that we are not perfect. We refuse to admit that we have a need of Christ in our lives. We refuse to listen to the Word of God because it convicts us and brings our shortcomings to light. We refuse to bow to God because we're afraid of what other people might think. Our own pride causes us to assess our lives by our standard instead of by God's standards. Pride severs us from God's design to live in relationship with each other. And as a result, many times pride pushes us into isolation from our self-confidence, believing that it's better to just be alone. And eventually, we fall. And when we fall hard. Proverbs warns about this when it said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can I tell you something? Get rid of your pride this morning. Because I'm telling you, I'm standing here in front of you and telling you, I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect either. There's not a one of us that is. There's only been one perfect person that ever walked the soils of this earth, and they crucified him. None of us are perfect. Sometimes people, I believe, don't come to the altar and bow down before Christ because they worry what somebody else is going to think. What are they going to think if I go to the altar? They're going to think something's wrong. They're going to think I have a need. They're going to think that I've done something that I need to ask forgiveness for. Yes, yes, and yes. But folks, we're not trying to please people. We're trying to please God. Get rid of that pride. I wonder how many people are going to lift up their eyes in hell one day because pride put them there. Don't let pride keep you tied. The Lord has need of you, and He cannot use you with pride in your life. Shame ties us up too. I cannot count the number of people that I have encountered since I went into the ministry that are so ashamed of their past that they think Christ could never love them. They can't get past events that have happened in their lives. They know they need Christ, and they want Him in their life. But they have this mindset that there is no chance of forgiveness from Christ. Their past is too checkered. Too many things have happened. They've messed up too much. If that's you this morning, can I tell you something? Your past is not too checkered. Too many things have not happened. You haven't messed up too much. As long as there is breath in your body, you can be forgiven. Every one of us has a past. And it's called a past for a reason. It's past. It's over. We can't fix it. But we can move on from here. Let me prove it to you. Don't believe what I say. You hear me? Don't believe what I say. I'm going to try not to tell you wrong. But I might fail you. But the words of my Savior will stand forever. There's an account in the Bible where it says a group of men brought a woman to Jesus and they had caught her, it said, in the very act of adultery. And they threw her on the ground in front of Jesus. And they said, the law says she should be stoned to death and killed. What do you say? Jesus finally told them, he said, whichever one of you, and I'm going to paraphrase, that doesn't have a past, whose past is not too checkered, who hasn't messed up too much, throw the first stone. If you're without sin, you throw the first stone. The Bible says one by one they dropped the stones and they walked away. And I love the ending of the story because he looks at this woman. He said, where are all your accusers? She basically says they're gone. And Jesus says this, and he says it to us today that are full of shame. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus didn't look at this woman and say, well, you know what? I'll give you this one. It's okay. Jesus did not condone her sin. But he forgave her. And he gave her direction. He said, basically, now don't go and do it again. Learn from it. Don't you think that was a shameful occurrence that woman was brought in for? I guarantee you this. I guarantee you that woman felt differently walking away than she was feeling when she was drug up there in front of Jesus. I guarantee you that. Get over the shame. Listen, I believe what my Bible says. Paul writes, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. John even wrote when he was given the revelation, when he saw Jesus, he said he looked down and he said, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. You ever play with an Etch-a-Sketch? You know what happens when you mess up? Shake it. You can't see your mistakes anymore. Maybe God needs to shake our lives up a little bit to get rid of this shame that we're carrying. There's nothing more than Satan wants than for you to live in shame of your past. When confronted with the conspiracy and the murder and adultery of Uriah, King David confessed his past, his shame, and he was forgiven. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. Jesus even came from his lineage. Did he have shame? Oh, he should have, and he did. But he got past it, and God used him mightily. We talked this morning about Saul, who became known as Paul. The Bible says as Stephen was stoned, he stood there complicit in that act, and people laid their garments at his feet. I'm sure he never forgot after he was converted. I'm sure he never forgot about being complicit in the murder of Stephen. But he got past it. Paul even said, I'm tired of reaching, looking at the things that are behind, but I'm reaching forward for the prize of the high calling in Christ. Let your shame go. What a sad thing to come to the end of life's road and close your eyes in death and open them in hell because the devil put that shame on you and you held on to it until you died. You cannot be useful bearing this in your life. If God can use people like David and Saul who got over the shame of their past and he used them as they did, he did, God can certainly do the same for all of us. Don't allow shame to keep you tied. The Lord has need of you, and he cannot use you if you constantly carry the shame of past mistakes. You can also be tied up by sin. We live in a world of people that are tied up by sin. People live their lives as if there is nothing after death. People live as if this life is all there is. They don't believe that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They're tied up by the sin in their lives, and whether they know it or not, they are miserable. Miserable. You see, sin affects our relationship with God, turning the love that belongs to Him alone and pointing it inward toward ourselves. We love ourselves more than we love God. We reject Him in favor of anyone or anything else. People seem not to realize that there are consequences with sin. And the ultimate consequence of sin is death. God cannot be in the presence of sin. A little over a week from now in the Bible, Jesus would cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God turned his back on his only son as he bore our sins on Calvary's cross. So sin ties us up and it literally separates us from God and being useful to him. There's an answer for this. And you can get untied from sin, and as you've heard before, it's as easy as A, B, C. Admit that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God who was crucified, buried, and rose again, and confess that you are a sinner to God. And my Bible says you will be saved. I'm not all that smart, but I can understand that. And I bet you can too. Get rid of the sin that has you tied up. The Lord has need of you, and you cannot and cannot use you with unconfessed sin in your life. Do you hear the devil whispering in your ear, I'm too old and too much time's been lost? Maybe the devil's whispering, you're too young. You don't even know about life yet. It's the devil whispering to you, I would love to come to Christ, but thoughts of just starting over just overwhelm me. You know, I think Jesus knows this. And I believe that he has come to untie the ropes and the bonds that are holding us back, to break every yoke and to declare that no matter where we are or what age we are, our life is not over. There's a lot to be done. And the Lord has need of us. He's been in the business of untying donkeys, of breaking people free from all that holds them back. We can't be useful to him while we're tied up. Folks, hear me on this. We were not created to be tied up to the fence post of life. We were created to do something. It doesn't matter if you feel ordinary or insignificant. I submit to you that he uses ordinary people, strengthening them in the significance of our relationship with him and for the advancement of his kingdom. Carrying around the load of pride and shame and sin is heavy. It's heavy. And I want you to know this morning, whether you're here or whether you're listening in, you don't have to carry that burden one more day. Today's the day you need to meet the burden bearer. Let him take that. Listen, the Lord has need of all of us today. We are all flawed individuals, but we're all still useful to God. He sees what others and even us cannot. Our God, who made us all, has planned a wonderful future beyond the ending of our days on this earth. That is eternity with him. But for it to be accomplished, he has need of us. I didn't think about this, and I don't think she would have done it anyway, because we hadn't done it in so long. But years ago, Reverend Buddy Sasser with the Four in Christ, when he was alive, he was at our church one night, and Buddy made this statement. He said, God wants everybody to go to heaven. He said, hell was not made for any of us. He said, and I've made my decision, I've made my election, and I'm on my way to heaven. He said, and I hope you are too. He said, but in a crowd of this size, he said, chances are there's somebody here or listening in. He said, that doesn't know Christ and is on their way to hell. And he made this statement. He said, I want you to know this. If you make a decision that you are not going to accept Christ, you are not going to change my mind. I'm going to heaven. He said, but heaven will not be the same without you there. Well, I wrote a song about that called It Won't Be the Same in Heaven Without You There. And the last part of the chorus says, there'll be no sad remembrances of loved ones left behind, but it won't be the same in heaven without you there. It's been so long, Miss Helen, I don't know if I even could right now, but you heard her. You got your marching orders. You need to learn that. It won't be the same in heaven. We won't remember because there'll be no sadness, no tears in heaven. But the Lord has need of every one of us today. Have you ever thought that you may be the one that is needed to go and tell somebody else about Jesus? Maybe the Lord is whispering in your ears like he did these disciples. Go over into the next town, and this is what you're going to find. Loose him, and bring him to me. Loose her, bring her to me. What if the disciples had never gone? Jesus would not have gotten what he had need of. Sadly, I think the same thing holds true for today. It may be us that is being called to go and loose someone and bring them to me. I love this quote from Philemon when they were discussing Onesimus and his usefulness to Philemon. And it says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. You know what that tells me? That tells me I don't care what your past is like. I can make you useful. I can make you useful. Get useful. Be useful to God. Get involved in the church. I tell young couples when I'm counseling them for marriage, I tell them, get involved in church. And you know why I tell them to get involved in church? Because the more they get involved in church, the less time they have to argue about little things. That's true. Tell me it's not. The Lord said, go get him. I have need of him. Are you useful to the master today? That's a question that we all have to answer. I think God is looking for men and women that will stand in the gap as intercessors, people that will proclaim his promises, whose lives are patterns to follow that paved the way for a younger generation like Layton, that cry out for his return. Are you useful to the master today? Or are you useless to him because of the bonds of pride and shame and sin that continue to keep you tied up? You don't have to spend your days in yesterday's pride and shame and sin. There are many new and glorious days ahead if you'll accept him as your Savior. The Lord has need of you. Because as I mentioned in my prayer today, there's another triumphant entry coming. We don't know when that time will be. It will be when God the Father looks at the Son and said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Are you ready for that day? You can't be ready if you're tied up. Come this morning and let God break the chains of pride and shame and sin that bind you. Would you do that this morning? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we come to you this morning. Father, we know as you look at us, you find us beautiful. But Father, we also know that we can be stubborn at times. Father, we're stronger with you than we are alone, even stronger than we think. And Father, I can't help but believe you're looking at us this morning and you're saying, I have need of them. Father, as John Wesley once said, he never wanted to be found useless to your purpose. Father, may that be our prayer today. And as we have this time of invitation, Lord, if there are any here or listening in that are tied up, Father, from pride and shame and sin and anything else that the devil uses to bind us, Father, may you just impress on their heart to come to you this morning, and that you will make all things new. We trust in that, and we believe in that, and we ask that you have your way right now, is our prayer. And we ask it all in the one who lived, died, and rose again, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.